I'm not catching that, but. Oh, she'll, okay. Praise God. That was good. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. And thank you for blessing us this morning. Lord, help me. I got a couple things on my heart, Lord. I don't have a lot of time. Man, Lord, help me to focus in just what you want to say, just as Jeff and Evelyn prayed. Jesus, thank you for your word. Lord, be with me as I preach. Be with the people as they hear. Lord, let's bring a message of hope today. Anybody struggling, Lord, I pray that you bring a message of hope today. I pray for your power in the word. Open the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had Matthew 8 opened, but I want you to go over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11. And just an announcement before I get into this, and I had forgot about it, but I need to say, hey, our Sunday school, want to thank everybody that volunteered last week to help and assist, because we do need an assistant. So thank you so much. If you haven't talked to Jo Lynn, please talk to her. But we've decided we're going to shrink the ages. Instead of 4 to 12, we're going to have the ages be 4 to 10, because there's just too much age difference trying to teach 12-year-olds and 4-year-olds. Could you see the challenge there? That's very hard. We're thinking about maybe doing some other things. The elders are praying about it. But it's just too much difference, you know, and it just creates problems. So we want to do everything we can to make things easier on the teachers, make things better for the kids. So the ages now are going to be 4 to 10, and we are monitoring it. And again, thank you so much for the volunteers that volunteered last week. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And you really could go, there's a lot you could say a lot there. But verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he or she who comes to God, this is huge, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I've said this before, but you know, the Bible doesn't say God is a rewarder of those that casually seek him. I know we're saved by the grace of God and we're secure in that, but there are many promises in the Word of God. There are many things that God has offered to us. Now, you can say they're conditional, and when you say they're conditional, it doesn't mean that God's waiting for you to get morally superior and righteous in yourself and do enough good works, and now you've passed the test and he'll give you the promise. The conditions are, with God, it's faith. God wants you to believe the promises that he's offered you. And without that faith, it's impossible to please God. And I've taught this before, you know, if you don't believe God exists, there's no way you can exercise any faith in God. If you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, and there's probably some in this room that don't or they're not sure, you can't exercise any faith in God's promises. Because without faith, you just can't please God. It's not like God's up there saying, well, they don't have any faith, they can't please me. You don't know he exists. You don't know his mind. You don't know his will. You don't believe in his word. How could you possibly please God? In fact, what the Bible says, it's impossible. You can't. But God has given each believer here the gift of grace. And I don't know about you, and you could get off into a lot of theological weeds, but truly and really, I know that I got saved. And Kim, when you said that today about when you got saved just in time, I was thinking, I did just what you said, and I hope the congregation did just what you said. But I was thinking where my life was heading when I gave my life to Jesus. And I was morally bankrupt, and I was empty, and God saved me just in time. But I know it was a gift of God. How I wound up in that church, and how I wound up there when that message was being given, and how I even wound up in the altar, and how I wound up in a prayer room, someone laying hands on me, good old Church of Christ boy to receive the Holy Spirit, I will never know. That is a mystery to me, how God did all that, where I was. I was an agnostic. I was a non-believer. So God, by the gift of his grace, he drew me. Did he draw you? Bible says if God don't draw you, and again, I say this a lot, I'm no Calvinist, but the Bible says if God doesn't draw you, if he doesn't call you, you're not going to get saved. Salvation is a gift from beginning to end. God draws you into salvation. He actually gives you the faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without hearing the word of God, you have no faith. That's why Satan constantly attacks the validity of the word of God. A lot of progressive Christians and a lot of progressive Christianity, they undermine the word of God. Because if you can't put your faith in the word of God, you're not going to believe God. Where are you going to stand? Someone say amen. It's true. That's why, you know, I hear preachers that I'll call them, they're what we call secessionists. They don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They don't believe God heals. They pretty much don't believe God does anything. And they'll teach a message on hermeneutics. What's hermeneutics? Come on, help me. What's hermeneutics? Hermeneutics is the proper way to interpret Scripture. And I believe in hermeneutics. You want to read things in context. You want to know who the audience was. I believe in all that. But these guys, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, comes to the power of God, when it comes to God answering prayer, they break every rule of hermeneutics, okay? Because they're secessionists. They don't believe that God still moves and God still interacts with us. But the Bible says, get this, with God, some things are possible. Well, you guys read your Bible. With God, all things are possible. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi, I believe it's 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, I change not. I taught on Wednesday night, and if you're not coming on Wednesday nights teaching on the kingdom of God, you're missing it. You really are, because we're going to dig in, we're going to go slow, we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. It's amazing stuff. Be there Wednesday night. But I taught on Wednesday night. Jesus, the Father God, he said he was, he is, and he will be to come. That's the scripture. He was, he said it, he fulfilled it in Jesus, and Jesus is coming again. Amen. Oh, I had a message on that, and I can't go there. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Folks, we have to believe God. We've got to put our faith. And I say this a lot. Some folks say they believe that the Bible's the word of God, and they don't spend 5 minutes in it during the week. If we really believed it, we would be burrowing into it. We would be reading it. We'd be digging in, trying to find out what God's saying to us. Would we not? Wouldn't we be searching it Solomon said, would be seeking in the word of God like it was hid treasure. Look at his beautiful smile. I'm just going to preach to her. So we'd be digging into it like it was hid treasure, like there was something valuable, something that was priceless in there. When Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, said that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it was the evidence of things not seen, you know, he really, and I'm talking about hermeneutics, how to rightly interpret the scripture. Flip back over to Hebrews 10, just one chapter back. And I want you to see this. This is very important. Paul said, I read, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, in context here, what is Paul talking about? Chapter 10, verse 1, it says, the law having a shadow of what? Good things or things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never make with these sacrifices, make them which come year by year perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder every year of their sins. Okay, so he is saying here, in context, the law was a shadow. It was a type. It was a picture of the good things to come. Now, what was the law? Do this and live. Now, faith is the substance of what the law was a shadow of. Do you get it? There were many. I got my Bible marked right now. I hope you're with me on this. I don't want to lose you. Chapter 11 says faith is the substance of good things. Did he say bad things, Jeff? He said faith is the substance of good things that were coming. The law was a shadow of it. The law said, do this and live. Faith said, believe this and live. There were many promises. I got my Bible marked, Denny, right on the book of Exodus. And I want to read again Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. I want to read them again because there's all these promises. There's all these shadows. There's all these things in the Old Testament that the prophets and Moses were writing about. They were promising. And the law was just a shadow. But now in Jesus Christ, we have the very substance of everything that God has promised us. Now flip over to Matthew 8. Someone say hallelujah. The Bible is such an amazing book. I'm getting this understanding about Jesus being the fulfillment of everything that God ever promised. Now, I know there are things to come. The Bible talks about salvation being here and now, but the Word of God also talks about future salvation. It does. There are things coming in the future when God is going to consummate the covenant. There are great things coming. I think about heaven all the time, or I think about the millennial reign. I do. Of course, I'm 60 years old. For you young guys, you may not think about it like me. I was talking to someone the other day, a classmate. We said, you know, I'm 60. My life is at least two-thirds over, right? It could be 99-hundredths over. Who knows, right? Well, you never know. But my life is at least two-thirds over. I'm thinking about what's it going to be like. If you're 80 years old in here, you're there. You're at the door. Maybe that wasn't the right thing to say. I didn't mean it like that. Can you remove that from the tape? Is there any way to... I didn't mean it just like that. I mean, at 60, I feel like I'm right there. Like, you know, I do. Now, if you're 80, well, you know, praise the Lord. You never mind. But you know what I'm saying. Hey, when you get... There's probably no getting out of that, is there? There's no getting out of it. There's no getting out of it. I just... You're ready for graduation. It's coming. Graduation day's coming, okay? But you know... We had a 40-year anniversary for our class not long ago, and you know not everybody is alive and around at that anniversary. A lot of them have graduated on to eternity. I had a buddy that went to church with me at the Vineyard, young guy my age, and he died a couple years ago. He was going to church with me. I met him. I started talking to him just like Linda did, and invited him to church. He came to church with me. And he got in a motorcycle accident. He's already in eternity. I think he was 58. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, Evelyn. Thank you, Evelyn. I'll give you the save on that. He graduated into eternity. So what I'm saying is, to me, the fact that I have a future salvation, and Paul talks about in Hebrews, actually he uses the word eternal redemption. There's more going on. There are promises that affect us in this life. Peter said, God has given us everything that we require, that we need for life and godliness. We have what we need now, but I'll be honest, I thank God that this is an eternal salvation. At 60 years old, I can see over. And what I was saying, to tag this back, I think a lot about eternity. When I see, I do, I go out this morning, I'm praising God, I'm going down the road, I see the beautiful blue sky. I see the foliage. The leaves are so beautiful. I see, you know, I had good friends. I had good time last night with people. And I just see all the beauty in this life. And I realize that this world's corrupted. As we're talking, there are so many wicked things going on. There's wars going on and there's strife. And all this earth, this life is only a shadow. Any good thing that you taste here is only a shadow of good things to come. Amen? I tell you, the older you get, the more you appreciate that. I thank God that I'm not a Buddhist where I believe I just go back to the ashes, or I'm a Hindu. I get recycled into this mess year after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. That would be horrible. The next time I may come back as a mosquito. Who knows, right? I don't want that. It's true. You come back lower life forms, higher. We have the promise in Jesus Christ of eternal redemption. Like I said, some of these promises are for now, and some are going to be consummated. I don't know about you, but I don't have, my new body yet. Anybody get their new body yet? You just take a look at my skull. If I have my new body, when you get to heaven and you see me, you're going to see how good looking I really am. I know I'm going to be about 5'11", if the Lord wills, and I'm going to have a full head of hair. I'm going to have so much hair, it's going to be flowing, I promise. I'm going to make up for years without. Man, if I could get it now, I would. Did Bill say something? Bill, for the tape, Bill said that would be one weird-looking mosquito. Oh, boy. Bill, did I tell you I work alone? Did I tell you that? Matthew chapter 8. Oh, Jesus. This is too much fun. Man, I want to show you something. It's so powerful. When he came down from the mountain, he is Jesus, great multitudes followed him. Now, the Lord has shown me this many times. He said, Brad, if you get it right, how many know Jesus was the real deal, right? He wasn't looking for a crowd. The crowds were looking for him. Amen? Amen? Man, to be more like Jesus, the crowds were looking for him. I want to get it right. I want to be more like Jesus. Behold, a leper came and worshiped him. Let me say this too. All over the New Testament, you see people falling down, and even in the book of Revelation, and they are worshiping Jesus. When Peter was worshiped, what did he do? When Paul was worshiped, what did he do? He said, get up, don't worship me. When Jesus was worshiped, what did he do? He received worship, didn't he? Now, if you have any Mormon friends or Jehovah's Witness friends, your argument's over right there. Only God can be worshiped, okay? There you go. You don't have to be a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness. Jesus received worship. He never, ever refused worship. The Bible even says, let the angels of God worship him. So don't be confused about that. Jesus was the God-man. He was fully man and fully God. It's Paul called it a great mystery, and it is a great mystery. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. It settles it. Amen. They changed their scripture, and they used the word obedience or something. Don't let them fool you on that. Okay. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now there is so much in here. It's like, look at all my color right around that. It's just like, all this color. It's chock full of revelation right there. It's just like, you could scribble all day on that. There's so much there. Jesus receives worship. If you had been following in the previous chapters, Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus was saying, repent. John the Baptist was saying, repent. They were saying it to Jewish people that had broken the law of God, that had not fulfilled the law of God or the promises of God. They said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. There's a new day coming. That old day's over, and Jesus in himself, he represented a new day. And really, it's not new age in the sense of new age movement, but there was a new age, the age of the church age, the age of grace. This new age of Jesus, the age of Jesus Christ, was coming in the person of the King Jesus. So he had told him to repent. And now he's going around, and Jesus is quite literally fulfilling the gospel. He's fulfilling the law of Moses. Do you know, in Leviticus 13, 14, maybe 15, anytime that someone had leprosy, there was provision for them to be healed in the Old Testament. I say, do you know, but I'm asking, do you guys know that? They were to be healed or cleansed. It was a promise. This guy comes to Jesus. Jesus is the personification of everything good. He's the substance of everything that was shadowed in the Old Testament. He says, I will heal you. And he did it. Now, I don't know that anybody at that time was going into the temple and trying to get healed of leprosy. You don't hear about it. You don't see it. What had happened? The law had failed miserably. We've talked about that. People were not getting healed of leprosy. The law was not coming to pass. The promises that were in the law were not being fulfilled. It was an utter failure. And here Jesus, in his own person, was doing everything that the law promised. It was being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know that? In the verse I just read, he said, go give an offering that Moses required. When you were healed of leprosy in the Old Testament, read it please, Leviticus 14, you had to make an offering. I think it was turtle doves. You had to make an offering when you were cleansed of leprosy. Jesus, fulfilling the law, healed this man and said, go make the offering that Moses required. Why is that? The turtle doves. Why is that? Because Jesus fulfilled the law. He is the very fulfillment. Everything that was shadowed in the old, it's now in Jesus. And I don't want to give away my Wednesday night, but Jesus is the kingdom. It's in him. It is a realm. I do believe it's going to be physical on the earth one day when Jesus comes back. I do believe that. But right now, the kingdom of God is already in existence. It's the rule and reign of God, and Jesus is the king, and he's on earth fulfilling everything that God had promised. Isn't that amazing? I mean, there's so much in here. I want to give more reading, but I don't have time to do that, so I'm going to skip down. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He heals the centurion. There's so much here. It's powerful. I don't have time to get into it. But in the evening, it says down in verse, I think it's 18, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed them, all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Isaiah 53:4. Cast out devils, healed the sick, and the reason he did that was to fulfill what was written. There's nothing promised to you in the Old Testament that Jesus did not fulfill, that did not accomplish for you. Both salvation in this life and your eternal salvation, your eternal redemption. I won't go there because I don't have time. But 2 Corinthians 1:20, that's why Paul says, hermeneutically, in context, that's why Paul says, all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled all the promises. There are promises to come. That's true. There are things. But Jesus is the fulfillment of those promises too. The new heaven, the new earth, the reign out of Jerusalem, everything that's going to happen in the future, Jesus is the fulfillment of those too. You know, right now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. And the last enemy that Jesus is going to overcome is death. And that promise is coming. One day, there'll be no more death. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more curse. What's that? Patty. She said, if you're over 80. Amen. I don't know. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. The promise was fulfilled. Okay? Folks, that's why I said, I'm going back into Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus in the Old Testament, and we're teaching on Wednesdays. Everything that we need for life and godliness is ours in Jesus Christ. You can try to take it out of there. You can try to twist it. You can try to take the power of the promises of the gospel out of there, but they are in there for us, folks. Now, I myself, and again, as I said, I know everything is not just automatic. There are people here that have all kind of promises and things that they're holding on to God or they're believing for that they have not occurred in their life yet. I have promises that I know that Jesus promised me that I have not walked in yet. But for me, and if I were you, I would be pressing into every covenant blessing that God's promised us. There's things in there when I pray, I speak. You heard me a little bit last week. When I pray, I speak those things right back to God. I say, Lord, Jesus promised me this. It's something real simple and basic we can all agree on. If you don't have peace of mind, you don't have peace of mind, you are promised peace of mind. You absolutely should not be like the world where you're troubled all the time in your mind. You've been promised. Jesus said he's literally become your peace. There's sickness in your body. I would be pressing in and learn how to receive my healing. I receive healing from Jesus all the time. I'm not lying to you. I get things that come on me all the time, try to attack me, and I walk in this healing. I'm going to continue. Not perfectly, but I'm continuing to press for it. I'm not going to let it go. I want boldness so I can love people. Some people didn't give away your seed because you don't, maybe it's a lack of boldness or it's fear or it's apathy or it's not loving. I don't know what the reasons are, but these are God promised you that he gave you the power of a sound mind. He gave you love and he gave you power. You have them all right now. You have power in Christ. You have the love of God in you because of Jesus, and you have a sound mind in you right now. If you're not walking in those things, I would be reaching for those things. Paul himself said that he had not acquired it all or walked in it all, but he's reaching forth for it. Or we can be very casual Christians and just say, well, it's for somebody else, it's not for me. You would be amazed. I know people in here that are praying for certain things, and as I'm reading in the Old Testament, and I don't want to be personal, so I can't read them out loud. As I'm reading in the Old Testament, I go, that right there is their answer. That promise right there in the Old Testament, that is the very thing that they want, and Jesus has fulfilled that for them. You don't get your prayers answered by obeying the law and doing all the jots and tittles of the Mosaic law, right? You get your promises answered by putting your faith in Jesus, because without faith, it is impossible to please him, because he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he rewards those that diligently seek him. Amen? What are you believing God for? What are we believing God for? Amen. When I was praying this week, I was thinking about preaching a message on living hope. I really felt like the Spirit was telling me there are people that have had, like, promises. Not as if it's enough for God to put it in the book, but literally you have known God has promised you things. You felt it, you believed it in your heart, you felt it in your spirit, but in the time of testing, in the time of trial, in the time of temptation, you gave up. There's things that you know. I'm not even got to twist your arm. You know that God has promised you certain things, and you've given up. You've let go of your faith. You know, there's a promise that God's given me that I've talked to the Lord about it many times. And every time I've gone to God, God says, Brad, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, because the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. Let endurance have its perfect work so you will be perfect, mature, and complete. How many times have I said you're going to be tested, you're going to be tried? Everything doesn't always. Sometimes when you're a new Christian, a lot of times everything falls like ripe cherries. Amen? But folks, we get tested. The Bible says it over. But God wants us today as a people to reactivate the promises that God's promised you. Go find that promise in the book. And just like we did last week when we shouted out to God or prayed to God or asked the Lord for it, speak God's promises back to him. That's how it's done. How many of you would like to be more bold in your witness for Jesus? You know what's been promised to you? How many of you this week prayed for boldness? Sometimes we give up hope. Do you know Paul prayed for boldness? You know Peter prayed for boldness? He said, God, stretch forth your hand to heal and grant your servants boldness. I pray for boldness all the time because I know how feeble I am. And I'll be, if God doesn't make me bold sometimes. He really does. It's like, poof, bold. Sometimes I'll just walk up to somebody. Well, I'd be scared to death to do it, maybe just on another, but I'll just, because God grants me boldness. Do you pray for boldness? I want to win people to the Lord and witness. How many of you want to win people to the Lord? You ever ask God to help you? I want to feed more hungry kids. I really do. You ever ask God to help you? It don't all have to be selfish. It don't all have to be for you, but there's promises in there for you. Grandmom, pray for your grandkids. Bible says, to you, your children, and your children's children, these promises are made. To you and to your children's children. May gets prayed for. My grandbaby May. Hope, faith is, I'm ending, faith at 11:59. What a perfection, right? Faith is the substance, Matt, of the things that you're hoping for. Hope is not just, boy, I hope so. Is God going to, boy, I hope he does. No, hope is an earnest expectation of good. Bible hope is an earnest, I think God's been talking to you, Evelyn, about hope. Bible hope is an earnest expectation of good. There's good things that's been promised to me. There's something good. Remember Oral Roberts, he said something good is going to happen to you. I like that. Something good. Leroy, we prayed for you over this anxiety and these things. How's it been?
Good.
Perfect. You were having those attacks how often?
I haven't had none since.
You haven't had none since, but you said how often were you having them before that?
About every day.
About 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it came to our life group, was having anxiety and panic attacks. Our life group, Kittle Life Group, little plug here, St. Louisville, laid hands on him and prayed for him and commanded that anxiety and panic and stuff to leave him. I think you told me you had one little attack in 3 weeks and he was having them every day. Amen? If we hadn't prayed for him, what would have happened? We had a confident expectation of good. We were on believing for him. Say, well, I prayed for so-and-so. And, well, okay, don't quit. Keep praying for so-and-so and pray for the next one and pray for the next one and pray for the next one. Don't stop. But here's what I want you to do. That thing that you know that God, because I like action, guys. God's a God of action. That thing that you know that God has spoken to you about and you are letting it go or have let it go. Anybody have anything like that? Just two of you? I know the Lord's telling me. Some of you are lying. Who has things that they were believing God for and you let go of and you know God spoke to you? Okay, I won't call names. Folks, I want to encourage you to rekindle that faith. Go into the Word of God. Get into your prayer closet. Faith is the substance of good things that you're hoping for. Have a confident expectation of good. I'll end here. Young E. Cho said when he prays, what he does is if he's believing for something, and he can't quite make the connection. He has a confident expectation of good. He's believing. He has the biggest church in the world. I think he has over 1 million people in his church. The guy might know something. I don't know. But he has a confident expectation of good. He says he goes and he prays to God. The same thing that George Mueller did, by the way, the guy that took care of the orphan kids. He went into his prayer closet and he wrestled and he prayed and he took the word of God and prayed until he came out of that prayer closet knowing that God had promised it to him and that it was his. He prayed. That's what they used to call that praying through. Back in the old Pentecostals, used to call that praying through, but he prayed until he knew that he had the answer. He wasn't casual about his faith. If there's things that you want from God, don't be casual about it. God will talk to you about it. God will tell you where you're erring. God will tell you what you need to do. And I'll say this, God will meet you where you're at. The Father God will meet you where you're at. He's going to find you right where you're at, and he's going to say, this is what I want you to do. This is where you're, and he is going to answer that prayer. Do you believe it?
Yes.
All right, stand up and shout. Amen. Okay, we're going to pray for Candace. Oh, no. Oh, okay.